Hey everyone, welcome. We've got a great presentation for you today. My name is Tim Reset. I have a website over eMiniMind, and we're going to be talking about high performance hacks for improving your trading results. So I've got a lot of good stuff to go over, and I'll do my best to keep my eye on the chat window. If you do have questions, you can drop them in there. I'll try to answer those as we go. And the recording is also, or the presentation, I believe, is being recorded. Is that right, David? Okay. All right. So like I said, we're going to talk about high performance hacks for better trading results today. And the presentation is going to read a little bit different. I don't have a ton of charts, and I'm not going to bore you with a whole bunch of text in the slides. So doing something a little bit different, it may flow a little bit more like a podcast. There's a lot of good stuff that I want to share from my trading experience. And I think first, we'll just give you a little bit of background about myself, and then we'll dive into some of the really helpful things that I've learned over the years that have helped me grow and really flourish as a trader. So I got started in 2006. For those that are not familiar with myself or my blog, eMiniMind, it's really just a place where I've started sharing sharing my ideas or jotting down my ideas in the early days when blogs first came around. It was just a way where I could organize my thoughts and then access it from anywhere. So I'd been trading since 2006, and I like to do a lot of traveling and kind of moving around and being fairly flexible and remote with my location. So that's kind of how the eMiniMind part of my trading came about. Just started putting some thoughts together, and Google started picking it up, and people started commenting and asking questions. So as the name implies, most of my trading is done in the e-mini futures, and I place a big emphasis on the mindset portion of my trading. So I like to day trade the e-mini futures. I also swing trade stocks. That's kind of how I got my start. I had some connections downtown in Chicago or near where I grew up, and so was able to get down to the Chicago Board of Trade, and I had been doing some swing trading, wanted to get into day trading. The fellows down there were kind of shooing a buddy of mine away from the trading pits and encouraging us to, you know, trade on the screen. That's really where you want to make your career. The pits were kind of dying. So that transition from swing trading, learning some of the ropes, adding in day trading, and then getting connected with some really high level day traders who'd been trading since the 80s to kind of coach or mentor us along and show us the ropes to how to day trade e-mini futures. So they make a really good pairing to swing trade and to day trade, because as you've probably seen, when volatility is really low, the ranges intraday are not as big. And so there's not as many day trading opportunities. But then when that occurs and volatility is low, you tend to get these big, long bull runs and longer swing trades. You're able to stay in those longer. So I find that they're a really nice pairing, and that's kind of been my my bread and butter since the mid 2000s. I've had the pleasure of speaking at the CME group and Traders Expos and a number of these multi-speaker webinar events that I really enjoy. So outside of trading, I spend a lot of time mountain biking, getting outside. I'm actually coming to you from Scottsdale, Arizona. That's where I spend most of the year. And then in the summer, I tend to go up to the Black Hills, Colorado, those areas, Montana, and kind of get out of the hustle and bustle and get outside and away from the trading screen. So I still trade through the summer, but it's just nice to have access to cooler temperatures. And I do find that getting away from trading, getting away from the screen and the markets really helps keep my focus when I am in front of the screen. So with swing trading, there's really not a lot to do intraday. And with day trading, I'm really just focused on the first 90 minutes or so of the day from the bell when the NYSE opens. So that kind of frees up the rest of the day to do all kinds of other fun stuff. So if you're newer to trading, or if you've been trading for a long time and you sit in front of the screen all day long, I would encourage you to kind of try and optimize your trade window, narrow the time that you are spending actually trading to just the more profitable time windows. And if you're day trading, especially if you're day trading the futures, The E-mini futures, index futures, the NYSE open is the best place. If you're doing currencies or commodities and that kind of thing, then depending on your time zone, you can get away with focusing maybe more on the European open or the pre-market, like the US pre-market is a good time to trade some of the commodities. So just kind of depends where you're living. But I think what all of us are really trying to get out of trading is to build a flexible, free lifestyle where you can kind of get up and go, move around, spend your time doing what you want to do when you want to do it. And so, yeah, you need to be in front of the screen and doing some homework and trading, but a couple hours a day, you can really get a lot in and free up the rest of your day to do all kinds of fun stuff. So, I am an ASU Sun Devil and spent my college years out here in Tempe. And then originally, like I said, from the Chicagoland area, spent many years up in Madison, Wisconsin after college, and then moved out here to Scottsdale and have another house in the Black Hills also, where we kind of split our time. So it's nice to be able to move around, have that flexibility, and trading has really opened that door for me. And I certainly would not be where I am today without the benefits that the trading has provided. So the first thing I want to get into is sort of defining your success. I think one of the things that, especially to use the phrase this day and age, it's very easy to get sucked into measuring yourself based off of someone else's definition of success. And there's so much being thrown at us from a media standpoint and an information standpoint that it's really helpful to take a big step back and focus on, the question of what's best for me, what's best for me and my family, me and my close friends, whatever your little circle is, whether it's grandkids, spouse, maybe it's just you, and what does your success look like? What would success mean to you? And then really ignore everything else that's going on out there, because there's a lot of folks that step away from, you'll see this, like they step away from the corporate world and they've made all this money, and every time they try and ladder up, then that success goalpost just continues to move. And then they step away from the corporate world, they're sitting on all this money, and they realize, you know what, I don't need all of this stress and all of this chasing of the next goalpost to make me happy. What would really make me happy is just sitting on my boat and fishing, or getting up and reading the paper with my spouse and playing golf, spending time with the grandkids. So everybody's definition of success is different. And the more you can just focus in on yourself and in some ways be a little bit selfish with only focusing on what's going to be important to you, the easier it is to then translate that and figure out, okay, what does trading need to do for me? Do I need to make $10,000 a day to be happy? Or can I be happy making $500 a day? What does my perfect life look like? Things like picturing what that perfect day to you is, and then really making that your goal. And so if you're spending all of your time, in the corporate world and you hate your job, and you'd really like to trade more and play golf and not work so hard, or maybe just not work in a field that you dislike so much, start with picturing, okay, well then what would the perfect day look like? Otherwise you can get stuck with, well, I leave this job, go to another job. And you really don't have any goal for what is the job providing. So if you picture what your perfect day looks like, that's a really good start. Focus on things like what you value, kind of a little bit of a heuristic approach or a higher level of looking at your life overall. And then finding, finally, what is meaningful to you? Big house, fancy car, maybe something that you value, but I would certainly argue that the more stuff that you have, or the nicer, bigger house and the more cars that you have, don't necessarily lead to more fulfillment. And that success goalpost just continues to go further and further down the road. And you know, especially living out here in Scottsdale, I mean, it's easy to turn around and, you know, every other car is a Ferrari and every house is, you know, higher and higher up on the hill, and add an extra, you know, million to the house, and then go to your next house, and then there's someone with another couple $1 million house bigger. So try not to get caught up in that snowball effect, and then you can really start to focus on improving the things that are going to give you your perfect day. And then trading can start to funnel or be a means to that perfect day. If the goal is to free up your time so you can play golf, and you want to trade for a couple hours in the morning and then go hit some balls at the range, you know, then what your objective for your trading is that day is going to look a lot different than if you're chasing this next fancy car or toy and you're trying to make trades based on, okay, I need, you know, I got to make $50,000 by the end of the month so I can get this new, you know, side by side or boat or whatever. And those stresses, which you don't realize, then really weigh on the decisions that you make and the trades that you take. And especially if you're doing some swing trading or holding trades overnight, it can be, you know, a detrimental to being able to sleep. And just the stress that you can place on yourself can really shoot yourself in the foot before you even get going with your trading. So I like to really focus on process goals and focus on mastering the technique of trading in all of the different pieces that go into trading. So everything from your entry to managing the trade to exiting the trade, you know, all of those pieces can be simplified. And so the more you can simplify your entry, what you're going to do after you get into a trade, and then how you're going to exit the trade, the quicker and easier it is to make those decisions when you're actively trading and it comes time to pull the trigger. A lot of trading is sitting around waiting, and you're waiting. And if you're not quick enough on the trigger, or if you hesitate, or if you're just waiting for too many things to line up and line up and line up, then you just end up with, you know, kind of paralyzed and unable to make it count when it's time to pull the trigger. So we're going to focus on mastering certain techniques in our trading. And I find it helpful to keep a mistake log just to keep things front and center. The opposite of that would be to, in your trading journal, just jot down one positive thing, positive takeaway from the day. Even if it's a terrible day, find one good thing and write that down to focus on. And then the mistake log you're not going to have mistakes every single day, probably, but at least you can have, you know, a page or two of mistakes you've made that you can just kind of read through before the day starts and just keep those front and center so that you don't slowly fall back into some of those old traps. My background, in addition to trading, is in the cycling world and, you know, a high level of pro cycling, mountain biking specifically. And so a lot of the training that we do, anyone who's an endurance athlete and athletes in general, or musicians, or anyone who's kind of a high level hobbyist, you know, you could be a woodworker. There's all kinds of things that we use these very methodical thought process for. And so a lot of the things that I've done in my cycling training carry over from a mindset perspective, carry over into trading. And so if you're, you know, you go out and you have a bad workout and you come home and you're, you know, thinking, oh, I'm a flop, or I don't have the power and I'm not having a good season. And maybe, you know, got sick and you have just kind of behind the eight ball a little bit, and you're behind where you would like to be at that point in your season. It's easy for that to snowball. And you could dwell on the mistakes and your lack of fitness. And so if you keep a journal, or at least every day that you're training, keep a note of one thing you did well, then when times get tough, you start to focus on those things, picking out the one thing that you did well. And it really does go a long way, you know, going back to the positive self-talk that, you know, so many psychologists and things talk about. All of that has a really big impact on the way that we trade. So keeping that mistake log, focusing on mastering the technique, and then picking one thing each day to work on. and you can even back it up and go one thing each week. But if you focus on the mechanics, then especially if you can just pick one thing to focus on, maybe it's, okay, today I'm going to really focus on adhering to my stop, or when I'm managing a trade, this is my trail. Every trade, I'm going to trail my stop this way. And so that's what I'm going to practice on. Even if the trade doesn't go very far or it doesn't go my way, I'm going to focus on trailing my stop the same way each trade for this week. And then when you focus on the one thing like that, then you can start to really master one piece at a time and then start putting the pieces together. So if you're playing basketball, or let's say you're playing golf, you know, you're not working on your putting and your chipping and your driving all at once. You're spending lots of time focusing on one thing and then bringing that to the game or bringing that to the table and trying to build a level of subconsciousness where you don't have to think about it. So the next thing that I like to do is focus on what I call 80-20 and really look at what's working and what's not. So the process goals are kind of the beginning part of the week or the beginning of the month. And then the 80-20 is kind of the end of the week or the end of the month. So looking at, okay, what worked for me this week? And, or you could even do it every single day, but the idea is to constantly be course correcting. So if you're steering a ship and you're starting to veer off course a little bit, you're just constantly kind of pointing it back towards the horizon or pointing it back where you're going. And this is a great exercise because it really keeps you in check to focus on what's important and making sure that you're doing 80%, or rather 20% of what you're doing has 80% of the impact to your results. And so if you spend your time focusing on 80% of all the little things, but you forget to do the 20% of the big things that are most important, then you really won't get anywhere. So the next thing that I kind of touched on is if you can shrink the time window that you're actively trading, this can help you improve your focus. So if you look at, okay, what is the 20% of time of the day where I make most of my profits? Let's ignore the other 80% of the day and just focus in on that 20% where I make most of the gains. And then you can start to maximize that time window. Focusing in on one strategy. If you've been trading for a while or you've acquired a whole bunch of different strategies over the years, maybe you have, you know, one or two or three strategies that you like to look at throughout the day, or one or two markets. But I think the main idea here is that you want to pick one general strategy to focus on and really master that before going to another one. And really focusing on like one market, one time frame, and focusing on mastering that before you start to expand, because it's really easy to up the number of contracts or shares, and it's really easy to scale. But if you haven't mastered one strategy and then you start moving to another strategy, then you just end up carrying those bad habits over with you. And so, you know, I see a lot of traders kind of bouncing around. They do a strategy for a couple of weeks and then maybe they don't have much success, so they move to another one. And then the other strategy starts doing really well, or they're trading a strategy for 6 months and then they have a couple of weeks where it's kind of a rough patch and there's a drawdown, and then they jump ship and go to something else. And then as soon as they do that, you know, that original strategy starts to come around again. So time is your friend when it comes to trading, and longevity of focusing on the long game to make it, you know, a viable option over time. You know, if you just make one or two trades and you make a couple home runs and you make a few million bucks, then okay, you could just stop trading and don't have to worry about the long game. But realistically, without taking an excessive amount of risk, or without having some kind of asymmetrical reward to risk, those types of situations are not really the norm. And so you can position yourself in certain investments or speculative plays where you have very little risk, but very big reward, but it's not going to be kind of the day-to-day approach when it comes to gaining consistency with your trading. So you might invest in, you know, a cryptocurrency or something like that. And in the early days, You could certainly have a high asymmetrical reward to risk, but those kind of opportunities, your Bitcoins and your various startups and things like that, your Googles and your Amazons, those don't come around that often. So try to focus in on one strategy that you can start to grow, scale, and then you can transpose that to other markets and other timeframes. We mentioned the one or two markets to start with. And really everything comes down to simplifying. So if you've already been trading for a long time, maybe you're trading the ES, the NQ, and the Russell, and the YM, and gold, and crude, try to simplify a little bit, because you can really pick up on a lot of the nuances and build a much better intuition when you're plugged into one market or one niche. It's difficult to do a lot of things very well. If you're going to be a generalist, a lot of the times, you have some basic knowledge and can kind of get your way through, but to really be efficient, you need to specialize. And so that's why it's important to keep things simple and focus in on one market or one or two. And then the other thing is focusing on the quality over quantity. So there's really no advantage as a individual trader or retail trader to try and trade a high frequency or a high number of trades, because you're just competing with high frequency trading firms and computers. So focusing on quality trades and reducing the number of trades that you take is going to be a much better, give you much more opportunity over quantity. And then the last one, as far as like 80-20 goes, I put a lot more value on limiting drawdowns than having excessive profits. So it's great to have winning trades, but as I'm going through my trade log, or looking at my strategy and trying to optimize, I value more being able to limit or cut down my drawdowns than I do having more profits, but on the same token or on the flip side, bigger drawdowns. So rather than having like a big roller coaster or a big sine wave, I'd rather have, a hockey stick or even just a straight line going up and to the right. That's what we're looking for our portfolios, up and to the right. That's what we want. And so if we have big profits and then we have big drawdowns, it can be difficult to get out of those valleys from the drawdown and mentally recover to get back to the next big profit. It's kind of like, if you invest a bunch of money and you pull it out in 2008, and you think the economy's going down the tube, and so you pull it out maybe halfway down and you're waiting for the bottom, market starts to go up, keeps going up, 10 years later it keeps going up, and now it's very difficult to get back in when you pull the money out. So I would rather keep it smaller, a little bit smaller contract size or smaller position size, do things to help limit the drawdowns so that I can continue my momentum, even if I have a couple of stumbles or have a few stop outs or have a rough week or two, that it really doesn't affect me so much mentally that I can't climb out of it on the other side. So the next one is, or really like the most important thing that you can do or that you can focus on is going to be intentional and to take action. So there's been a lot of good presentations today and throughout the week with the multi-speaker expo here. And it's great to pick up ideas and it's great to have ideas, but when you don't take action on those ideas, then there's really no value there. And so without being intentional and taking action, you just get nowhere. So knowledge is really great, but when you apply that knowledge, that's when it becomes powerful. So you don't have to take huge steps, going back to, the sports and the music world. If you just take a small step, but take it every single day, eventually you get to the top of that mountain. And so rather than standing at the bottom of the mountain, looking up and saying, gosh, how am I going to climb to the top of Mount Everest? Instead, just looking at, okay, well, if I just get to, get to that next corner, get to that next saddle, get to the, just get over this, get through the obstacle in front of you, then you can build upon that and build upon the next obstacle. And that intentionality and focus and actually taking the step. Maybe you, start climbing in one direction and you kind of get to a crevasse or an area where you're not really able to pass and you have to back down a little bit. Well, at least you've gained some experience and you can backtrack a little bit. You can get yourself back on course and you can continue to take more action. So I would rather take a bunch of small actions that have fairly limited consequences, make smaller decisions quickly, then wait and wait and wait, sit on my hands, think about it, and just let, you know, the last 10, 12 years from, 2009 up to 2023, 22, all of those opportunities to let those disappear rather than taking some small actions and saying, maybe I'll, invest a little bit into some mutual funds. Maybe I'll invest a little bit into Apple, into some of this AI technology, into maybe I'll buy a rental property and just buy something cheap, a little bit of a fixer upper, see how I like the rental space. Maybe I'll first start by going on vacation and renting my house out on Airbnb, just getting a little taste of what it would be like to be a landlord. So there's lots of things you can do to kind of back up, reduce the risk. It's kind of like try it before you buy it, rent that trombone for your kid before you go out and buy one because they might only play it one day and then decide they hate the trombone. So being intentional and taking action are the two most important things you can do in your trading and just in general with your life and your business and your family. The more you can be intentional and take action, the better you're going to feel. So some helpful tips specific to not just day trading, but swing trading as well. I do like to meditate, visualize. It could be a number of different ways, forms of, you could do yoga, you go for a walk, go sit by the lake or the ocean or wherever you live, sit outside at a park, just close your eyes and sort of kind of let the ideas come into your brain and then let them pass on. Doing visualizations around getting in and getting out of trades, I found it really helpful to kind of visualize the sound of getting in a trade and then immediately getting stopped out and kind of accepting that worst case scenario before I got into a trade made it so that when I did get into the trade, not every time the trade's going to stop me out. And so if I've already accepted the worst case scenario, then as things get a little bit, start to go my way, you're just a little bit more calm, your heart's not pounding, your palms aren't sweating, and just being more mindful and aware of yourself and your emotions can really make you a much better trader. And so, like I said, it could be doing yoga, it could be going for a run, sitting at a park and just watching the ducks in the pond. All those things are really helpful to kind of get a handle on your mindfulness. Another thing I like to do is listen to classical music, preferably piano or music that, doesn't have any words. I find that it kind of keeps me focused. There have been a lot of studies about that also, as far as kind of some subtle piano in the background that doesn't have words or light music that it kind of keeps your brain engaged or slightly distracted to keep you extra focused in a roundabout way. So I always listen to classical music when I'm trading or working, not when I'm riding my bike though. We talked about what it looks like to define success, defining the successful week from the start and focusing on, or looking at what do you want to work on going into that week. That way, when you get to the end of the week, it doesn't really matter when you're just starting what your P&L is. If you're making, those process goals come to light and you're seeing gains there. If you just from the gun focus on making a dollar amount each week, then you start to change your trading decisions based on almost a responsive or a desperate type of mindset. So if you can go into the week with a plan of what you want to work on, versus how much money you want to make by the end of the week, the winning trades will come if you can focus on mastering the technique and breaking your trading down into little pieces every single day. Planning breaks is really a big one. I see a lot of traders, and just, you look around, people in general, they get burnt out, or they, New Year's resolution, they're going to do this thing, they're going to run that marathon, they're going to lose that weight, and they get a few weeks in and they just, peter out. Trading, it can be easy to sit there all day long, open the charts after hours, wake up in the middle of the night and trade. So you really need to plan breaks. And this is something that came from the cycling world. You have an in-season, you have an off-season, most sports, pro sports, just do the thing nonstop all the time. Your body needs time to rest. You need mental breaks. And so I like to plan breaks around things like the, with tomorrow, we have the Fed meeting announcement that is typically a very slow morning followed by a whipsaw afternoon. And so I do not trade Fed meeting announcement days. So there's one day every 6 weeks. Futures rollover week can be a little bit wonky when you have both contracts trading, the front month and the expiring month. And so that week of futures rollover that happens 4 times a year, those are good times to kind of plan some breaks, or at least take Friday off, do a longer weekend. And then in the summer, you get around like 4th of July and some of these holidays, Memorial Day, Labor Day, you can kind of extend those. And knowing that you have a break coming, I find really helps keep me on pace, during the rest of the year. And I'm just trading with nothing to really look forward to as far as a break or a trip or anything. It's just kind of the same old boring thing every day. It becomes kind of monotonous, and it prevents you from snowballing in a bad way or spiraling down in a bad way. So plan breaks. I always also like to read a little bit. It doesn't even have to be about trading. It's just the act of reading words on a page to get your juices flowing. So if you wake up in the morning, reading a couple pages from a book, again, it doesn't even have to be about trading. It's just about getting your mind in a very clear, mindful state so that you can make good trading decisions. And if you kind of take a step back and look at the decisions you've made in your life so far, that can also shed some light on, what is my success likely to be in trading? If you always find yourself getting into pickles and maybe losing your shirt on, quote unquote investments, or putting your money into things that don't seem to pan out, there's probably some underlying challenges there that are not going to change just because you start trading. And so getting a handle on some of that, what's the book? The Millionaire Mind by Harv Eker is a good one on kind of reshaping your money side of your brain. Because a lot of the things that, you're taught as a kid or that you pick up on as a kid end up carrying through to your adulthood. And you can be doing a lot of things that are sabotaging your ability to make money. And when it comes to trading, let's be real, we're doing it to make money. And it's very difficult to overcome some of those challenges without knowing that they're there. And so that's a good one to read if you haven't already. Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, T. Harv Eker. Writing things down and using actual pencil and paper is really helpful. I'm a big fan of Post-it notes. And Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker was the book. And when you put your actual handwriting on, paper or Post-it notes, there's been a lot of studies that show that helps ingrain those ideas into your mind. And so a lot of times I'll write stuff down on a Post-it note and I'll never look at it again because it's sort of, that was the reminder, the act of writing it down. So I like to keep a really simple trade log in Excel. I know there's a whole bunch of online ones and ones that'll pull in your trades and all that stuff. And those are all great, but just keeping things as simple as you can to actually be something that you're going to use. I use Excel and I use plain old Notepad the most. I've got the notes app, I guess you call it, in my phone, and I jot things down there and I move those notes, those ideas or whatnot, reminders to Notepad. And when I'm trading, I'll make a couple notes on a Post-it note when I took the trade, just some basic stuff. So the direction, the time, the entry, and then, you know, something about why I see this as a good opportunity to get into the trade. And then I can go back later and fill in the rest of the, important things of how the trade actually did. But having a few notes like that, then you can go back and sort of, again, build the intuition based on, okay, I got in the trade because I saw these things happening, or this one sentence or blurb. And what was the outcome? Was I right? Was I not right? And you can start to determine, okay, is my initial intuition right or wrong? And if you're always wrong, then you can start to, you know, flip that and do the opposite. And maybe you think, I want to get long here, and you know that you've been wrong a lot. Then it causes you to step back and say, what would be a reason to get short instead of long? And you can be really mindful about where you're placing your trades, and jotting those things down on paper is just another way to help speed up some of that learning curve. Another one that's very relevant these days is I would encourage you to ignore like 99% of all the social media news, everything that's out there. There's always someone who's making money every day of the year. You know, someone has made a winning trade. And if you are constantly looking around social media and looking for just kind of other information that you get bombarded with, it can be very challenging to stay focused. And all of this kind of ties back to what defines your success. So try it for a week. And, Tim Ferriss would say, if something's important, it's going to make its way to my ears. And so if there's something that's incredibly newsworthy and important, you're probably going to hear about it from a friend or see it on, you know, something on your phone or whatnot. But as long as you don't go actively seek out all the junk on social media and those kind of algorithms that just suck you in, and, you know, you just, next thing you know, half hour goes by and you're scrolling. All that stuff has a really detrimental effect on your trading and your mindset and your mindfulness. And you start to drift back into thinking, I need all of these things. I need what my successful day looks like is now becoming everybody else's successful day. So try it and see how you feel after a week of very limited social media and news gathering. Then the last one is, you know, just start, kind of going back to the take action. If you, the first step could, if you're new to trading, might just be signing up for an account and pulling up the paper account and just seeing what you see and playing around with the charts and the trade ladder. If you've been trading for a long time, just starting might be printing out your existing trading plan that you already have or that you had written a few years ago, and just printing it out, and then the next day or on the weekend, go reading through it and just crossing out all the things that aren't required for you to enter, manage, or exit a trade. And you can start to then simplify. And if you can find ways, especially if you've been trading for a long time and maybe you're just kind of break even or treading water, or you've bounced around from options to futures to stocks to this, that, and the other thing, focusing on simplifying and clarifying is really the best thing that you can do. So I've got two book recommendations that I highly, highly recommend. The first one, very fitting, Brain Hacks for Traders. It's super unknown book, but it's by Harvey Welsh. And a lot of the stuff that he talks about in there, just some little hacks and things, are all stuff that that I do. So I felt like, wow, we're really aligned with the way that we look at the markets and trade. So that's a really good one. Quick, easy read, but definitely worth it. And then the other one, not so much trading specific, but really big on kind of developing this individualistic picture of success. You may have heard of The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel. That's a newer book. You've probably read a lot of the classics and things like Think and Grow Rich and Reminiscences of a Stock Operator, Market Wizards books, and those are all great. But the Psychology of Money is a really fantastic book. Again, Morgan Housel, his ideas, as I read through his stuff over the years, we align so much on our thought process, and it's such a freeing way of living. It's not radical ideas or anything like that, but just being able to simplify and focus on your own success really creates a lot of joy and peace. And so those two books are really good. The third one that's not on the list that I would add or that I recommend a lot is Thinking in Bets by Annie Duke. And that's coming from a poker player background. Her background's in poker, but that thought process is extremely applicable to trading and how you go about thinking about wins and losses. So those would be kind of my top three books, Brain Hacks, Psychology of Money, and Thinking in Bets by Annie Duke. And then the other one I mentioned, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. That's a old time classic, but that's more of a almost like a workbook because it asks a lot of good questions and gets you thinking. So you might read a few pages and then sit on it for a few days and then read another few pages and sit on it again. So I've read that one a number of times. So one final note to kind of wrap things up is there's really no shortcut or substitute for time in front of the screen. And there's lots of things that you can do to kind of speed up the learning curve, but doing the thing, doing the actual trading is what's going to kind of help build your skill set. And so rather than looking for, you know, a holy grail or a shortcut, instead just focus on being consistent day after day with the small decisions that you can control. And then over time, you know, if you try to get 1% better every single day, pretty quickly after 100 days, you're 100% better. So 1% doesn't seem like a lot, but day after day after day, it can really add up. And so if you focus on working smart, being patient, and staying disciplined, those three things day after day after day can build a really solid, can turn you into a really solid trader. So I've got a few other hacks and things over at eMoney Mind. If you just type in eMoney Mind /success hacks, as well as some of these here and some books and things like that, I've got listed over there. And I just want to thank everyone for tuning in today. That's all I have as far as presentation goes. I want to thank David for having me. And I got my email on the screen there too, tim@eMoneyMind. If you do have specific questions that you want to touch on or anything that feel I didn't touch on, feel free to shoot me an email. So thanks everyone for tuning in this afternoon. There's a lot of good presentations over this multi-speaker expo. And thanks David for having me.